Every Christian is under constant attacks. Now, many of those attacks that come at us are outward attacks. They are the devil attacking us. The devil cannot indwell a believer. So that's an outward attack, and he's tempting us. He's trying to deceive us. He's trying to devour us. The devil, hey, in case you've forgotten, Christian, the devil is after you, all right? Now, if you're here today and you're not sure of heaven, the devil already has you. And you are headed for his hell. And we're here to tell you today, you don't have to go there. Jesus Christ, by the way, Duane, happy birthday. Today, right? 5-0. Is that like Hawaii or is that... Wow, no secrets around here. All right, good. And Sheila, happy birthday to you too. All you guys sneaking in late thinking I'd forget. Not a chance. So the devil's attacking from the outside. He's after us. And then we've got the world that's trying to conform us, trying to change us. I think, and by the way, that's true of the church too. The devil and the world are attacking the church. The devil wants to conform the church, the world wants to conform the church to make the church like the world. And unfortunately, that's happening all too often. And we're adopting all the things of the world. The devil wants to destroy the church. He is attacking the church. And it's amazing to me that in our lives, often we have victory over those things. But there's one other enemy. And that's the enemy from within. And that's the enemy you live with 24/7. You're born with it. You're going to die with it. And that's the old flesh. And as we look at Hezekiah's life today, and really the end of his life, we're going to find a man who had victory over all of his outward enemies. Sickness came, disease came, and through prayer and faith, he had victory. The Assyrians were attacking. They had a siege upon the city of Jerusalem. By prayer and faith, he had victory. So all the outward enemies were defeated, but he still had an inward enemy, and it got him. In a very specific way, and we're going to talk about that today, because if you fall to what Hezekiah fell to, you too will be destroyed. Okay? So, here we go. At this point, I want you in 2 Chronicles 32. Let me read verse 27 through 30. And I want to see Hezekiah's prosperity. If you're taking notes, first point today, Hezekiah's prosperity. All right? Here we go. You're in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 27. And it says, and Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver, for gold, for precious stones, for spices, for shields, for all manner of pleasant jewels, storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine and oil, and stalls for all manner of beasts, and coats for flocks, or pens or sheep coat. There we go. That's kind of where we use too. And moreover, he provided him cities and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him substance very much. This same Hezekiah also stopped the upper watercourse of Gihon and brought it straight down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered. There's where we get our first point. Prospered in all of his works. Now, I want to give you two things under this. Number one, his power. Now, when we think of his prosperity, this is review, but we've got folks visiting. Let me just hit this real quickly. He had great power when it came to the Assyrians. Assyrians were the power of the time. They were the superpower, okay? And you know they had come to Jerusalem. They had surrounded the city. It was under siege. They were trying to destroy it. And remember how Rabshakeh, who was the king's spokesman, sent a letter to Hezekiah saying, you're going down, buddy. Trash talk, okay? We're going to take this city. And remember what Hezekiah did with it. One of my favorite passages. He took it into the temple and he spread it before the Lord. And when he did that, God worked a great miracle. And he sent how many angels? This is amazing to me. One angel, and in one night, that angel slew how many people? 185,000. Wow. Why did that happen? Because Hezekiah prayed. He had power in prayer. You remember, secondly, that Isaiah came to him and said, hey, buddy, you're going to die. He was sick, sickness unto death. Isaiah comes and says, it's over. Get your will. Make sure everybody knows what's going on. And he prayed. He turned his head toward the wall and he prayed. And God heard his prayer. And before Isaiah was even out of the palace, God said, hey, go back. I'm going to give him 15 more years. And remember, Isaiah said, what sign do you want? Do you want the sundial to go backwards or forwards 10 degrees or backwards 10 degrees? And here's a man who prayed, and God, through miraculous means, made the shadow of the sun go back 10 degrees. And that's power, folks. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of prayer life? That's power. And so here's a man who had power over disease. He had power over the sundial, or the sun, had power over the enemy. But then we read about his possessions here in this passage, and he had great riches. It's amazing to me, when a guy was doing well in those days, what would they do? All the surrounding kings, what would they do? They'd bring him more. You know, hey, you got a lot, we're going to give you some more. I don't quite understand that, but they were trying to get his favor, obviously, because he was a powerful king. He was a wealthy king. So they brought him all kinds of jewels and gold and silver, precious stones. He had rare spices. He had all kinds of things there, and he built these treasuries. You notice in that passage, he had corn, he had wine, he had oil. He had to build more stalls and more sheep coats for all of his sheep. I mean, this guy had the stuff. I mean, God was blessing him in a mighty way. And it says in verse 29, God had given him substance very much. And then notice not only his possession, his power, his possessions, but his projects. He said he built a... There was a spring called Gihon, or a creek that ran through the valley of Gihon, and that water was outside the city. Now, on a normal basis, that's fine, isn't it? Normal day, you want water, what do? You go through the city gate, you go outside, you get water, you bring it back. What happens if the enemy comes? You can't get to the water, and who gets the water? The enemy. And so he came up with an engineering project, folks. He went through 650 feet of solid rock, two groups of men with hand tools, one started on one end, one started on the other end, and they met in the middle. It's pretty impressive, isn't it? It's quite an engineering feat. Yeah. And so they blocked up that stream, or they covered it so the enemy couldn't see it or couldn't have access to it. All that water now ran into the city. And it's interesting, of all the sieges that Jerusalem went through, they had famine, but they never ran out of water. It also says in the Word of God that he went and he fortified the walls. Some of the walls have been broken down in Jerusalem, and he fortified the walls. He even built in some places a double wall, and he built towers for watchmen and for soldiers to fire from. He built, he made shields, he made arrows to defend the city. This guy was prosperous. I mean, he really, God had blessed him in a mighty way. So we see, number one, Hezekiah's prosperity. Secondly, and here's where we get to the meat, we see Hezekiah's pride. Let me take a quick survey. How many of you struggle with pride? I'm waiting. Every one of us struggle with pride. Every one of us struggle with pride. And an amazing thing happens here, because some ambassadors, and flip back to 2 Kings chapter 20 there, and verse 12. And it says, at that time, what a name, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Now listen, and Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of, what's the next word? His precious things, his silver, I'm adding some words here, and his gold and his spices, the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in all his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. So these guys show up. They'd heard about his healing. They'd heard about the sun, the shadow going back 10 degrees. These guys wanted to come and talk to this guy about this. This guy was an amazing king. They heard about all the great things he had. So they show up, and Hezekiah says, it's time for the guided tour. And they get them all on camels, you know, and he's got a microphone. And on our right here is, you know, and my treasuries. And you can just see, he's going around, you know. Yes, I rebuilt these walls over here, and here's these towers that I built. And here's, notice the new system of barns I built out here for all of my stuff. And here's my treasury. And he showed him all these great things. What a great opportunity to glorify the Lord. Why did Hezekiah have all that stuff? The Lord gave it to him. The Lord blessed him. Now, we talk about this often, but why did God put you here in this world? What purpose? To glorify God. To give a proper reflection of who God is. And here come these heathen from Babylon, and they come to see what God has done in this man's life. And and what an opportunity for him just to glorify God. And of course, our text for that is 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And in Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Let me ask you a question. In Hezekiah's life, was there glory due to God? Oh, my soul. Sure there was. We already read about his prosperity and his power and his works that he had done. We've read all of that. How could he do all that stuff? Because God allowed him to do it. And don't you wish that we had read, he brought them into where his deathbed was. And he said, guys, the doctor said I was going to, in fact, the prophet Isaiah said, you're going to die. And I turned and I prayed to God in heaven. And my God, Jehovah God, the God who has all power, healed me. Wouldn't you like to have read that? Wouldn't you like to have read as they went by those walls and everything? And he talked about the Assyrians. And he said, I want you to know that the Assyrians came, the most powerful kingdom right now in this world. And they laid siege to our city. And they threatened us. And they threw trash talk at us. And they tried to discourage us. They tried to defeat us. And I prayed to God, God Elohim, the all-powerful God. And God sent one angel. And he killed 185,000 in one night. Wouldn't you like to have read that? And wouldn't you like to have read as he went through and he showed him all these things and said all this riches came from God. All these crops and all these fields and all the things that I have out here, they all come from God. God has blessed me immensely. But the key word in verse 13 we just read was the word his. You say, well, Gary, you're reading that into the text. I'm glad you said that. Look back at 2 Chronicles 32:25. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. What does that mean? He was full of pride. He was full of pride. And when Hezekiah took those guys on a tour, it was all about Hezekiah. All about Hezekiah. It wasn't about God. And he was lifted up with pride. That's a very interesting verse. You're in 2 Chronicles. Look at verse 31. And it says, howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. Now this is a strange phrase. God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. Now, it's hard for me to know what the antecedent for he is. I kind of think it's probably Hezekiah. God knew what was in his heart, but I mean, I'm not going to debate it. I'm not sure. But interesting to me, God left him. Now, what in the world does that mean? That he might try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. I read that the first time. That kind of troubled me. Now, This is the Old Testament, obviously. The Spirit of God would come upon people for certain jobs and duties and things. And in the New Testament, it's different, isn't it? Holy Spirit's here to indwell us. Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I think this is what happened. The Lord said, I'm just going to withhold my influence in your life and see how you do. I'm just going to back off a little bit here and see how you do. And we're going to find out, Hezekiah, what your heart is really like. Yeah. Yeah. And when God backed off a little bit and left Hezekiah to himself, what did we find out about Hezekiah? This man who could pray and move the hand of God, what did we find out about him? He was still flesh. He was still weak. And he was a man who unfortunately had pride. You know, what comes naturally to you? Humility or pride? Anybody ever have to fight humility? Oh, I'm just too humble. You know, I just have to fight humility all the time. Now, there's false humility. You know, that's different. None of us have to fight that. All of us have to fight pride. Every single one of us. Isn't that amazing? Now, what do we fight pride about? What do we get prideful about in our lives? What? Possessions. Look what I have. My car, cars, house, whatever. Okay? Yes, sir? Yeah, but let's leave out the last part. Our abilities. Jim plays trumpet. The Lord has blessed him with that ability. How we look. Now, I'm surprised you would say that, buddy. I really am. Boy, woof, that was good, buddy. Thanks for setting that up. That was great. Isn't that amazing, though? Think about this. We get proud about what we can do, what we have, what we look like. Okay, now, I don't have that problem, as you can tell me. You know, when you look like me, how can you have pride? Watch it, sister. That really hurt. But let me ask you a question. Why do you look like you look? Now, I know, you know, maybe two coats of paint and, you know, a couple. I know that. But, I mean, in general, why do we look like the way we look? That's how God made you. Isn't that amazing? I'm one of the beautiful people. I'm so... How did you get so beautiful? Well, it could be plastic surgery, you know. Half of these people in Hollywood don't have real faces anyway. But how'd they get it? Well, God made them that way. Isn't that amazing? And we get so proud about the way we look. If it weren't for the grace of God, think what you'd look like. Amen. That's personal testimony. Buddy's raising his hand back there. Think about this. We get so proud about all the things we have, and we are blessed. I tell you, folks, this church is full of people who are blessed with stuff. We think this was Bob's 10th bargain barn. Okay? And I just kind of think you folks are going to run out of junk at some point. The stuff we were getting rid of, many people in the world would die to have. Now, how'd you get all that stuff? You say, I worked for it, okay? How'd you get the ability to work? You say, I'm a self-made man. You are crazy. All has to happen to you, a little virus get in your brain. And you won't be working anymore. Listen, folks, if it were not for the grace of God, we would be nothing and we would have nothing. Now, the Apostle Paul, who was, in my thinking, probably the greatest Christian of all time, listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Some of you have seen the Harbin's wedding barn. You may not call it that. You probably have a fancier name than that. Mark built that thing. Now, how was Mark able to do that? Well, good night, just look at him. The Great Wall of China. I mean, the guy's huge, you know. I'd hate to play basketball against you and have you set a pick. I mean, it would be painful. How do you do it? God enabled him and gave him the ability and the land and the wood and all of that stuff to build that. I mentioned Jim playing the trumpet. All that would have to happen to end that, Jim, is you're driving down the road and somebody come alongside and or hit you head on and you tear up your lip and it's over. Or knockout teeth. Now, that's getting personal. Yeah, you're exactly right. Now, think about what you do, how you look, what you have. What would it take to lose it? Just like that. And the reason you still have it is the grace of God. And yet, we go around, yeah, did you hear that? We're like Barney Fife. Yep, boys. Right? We are. And we're full of pride. And folks, it's by the grace of God. Paul went on to say, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul, how did you do so much for the Lord? If you'd gone to Paul and asked him that question, you would not have heard him say, well, you know, I studied really hard when I was in the school of Tyrannus. He would not have said, you know, my personality. You know, I've perfected my personality. I've perfected my preaching. Now, by the way, there's nothing wrong with taking the gifts God gives you and working with them, undoubtedly. But look, folks, it's all the grace of God. If you can think today, it's the grace of God. If you can work tomorrow, it's the grace of God. If you have stuff, it's the grace of God. If you've got a nice home, it's the grace of God. If you've got good looks, hallelujah, it's the grace of God. It's all by grace. And we go around like Manny Roosters thinking we are somebody. What in the world? That's exactly what Hezekiah did. I mean, you read, as we've been reading about his story, I mean, we see God helping him and helping him and helping him. And now he brings these guys come on the scene and he says, I'm the man. And instead of glorifying God, when somebody comes to you, Brother Jim, and says, man, I enjoyed that trumpet solo, our response ought to be, thank the Lord. It's the grace of God. Somebody comes and sees that barn, Mark, and they say, wow, what a barn. Man, that's awesome. Your response ought to be, it's the grace of God. And boy, shouldn't that be true of all of us? Kim plays our piano for us, does a wonderful job. It's the grace of God. Anything we do, anything we are, anything we have, it is from God. And if we will have that mindset, that will keep us from falling into pride. It's often amazing to me how the devil works. And we'll be doing something for the Lord, and it'll go well. And the devil will whisper, you are really good. Huh? This usually happens to me about two-thirds of the way through a cantata. And the devil says, man, you have prepared these people. This is great. And I'll start thinking about that. And that's usually where it falls apart. It's amazing how the devil is. You're doing something for God. You're doing the right thing. And the devil just wants to get you thinking how good you are. It's all the grace of God. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, he says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. What a verse. Let me read it again. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. I see Larry Stover back there. God's blessed Larry with the ability to run a business. Now, I remember several years ago when he was at my door begging for food. No, it wasn't that bad. Things got really tight. He's got a store now here, one in Sevierville, one in Murfreesboro. Why is that? Why did that happen? Larry, it's the grace of God. God has smiled upon you. It's the grace of God. And we could go from Mike to Mark and all around there. We got Jersey Mike's, the Jersey Mike's company sitting right here. Five, is it five? Going on six? Who would have thought when you retired from Eastman? You already had one or two, I think, didn't you? One? How did all that happen? It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. By the way, just let me stop for a moment. If you need a good sub sandwich, Jersey Mike's is the place to go, okay? I got five locations, folks. Five locations, one in Colonial Heights, not too far from here. And we could do that all around the room. It's the grace of God. Well, unfortunately, Hezekiah didn't respond that way, so we see his pride. Finally, we see Hezekiah's punishment. Hezekiah's punishment. You're in. Flip back to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 14. 2 Kings 20, verse 14. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There's nothing among my treasures. Still got a problem, don't we? That I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. God shows up. And he said, I'm going to have to punish you for your pride. Now, the simple matter of fact is, God always punishes pride. Who was the first being that showed pride? Satan or Lucifer, didn't he? I will be like the Most High. I will be exalted above the heavens. And what did God say? No, you won't. There's the first example. And when Lucifer came to Eve and tempted her, what was one of the areas he tempted her in? We find those listed in 1 John 2:15 and 16. The pride of life. God ripped you off. You know, you could be better. You could be like God if you just eat of that tree. And the devil's been doing it. There are millions of people in hell today because of pride. I'm not that bad. I'm okay. Pride sends a lot of people to hell. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And here's the thing I want you to remember, folks, and I preach to all of us. God will punish our pride too. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. Proverbs 16:18, the one you know well. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride, what always follows pride? Boom. God knows how to humble us, doesn't he? Instead, we need to humble ourselves. In James 4:10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. It's interesting. One of the fruit of the Spirit has to do with this. Which one? Galatians 5, think of the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say humility, but when the Spirit of God is working your heart, he will give you, I heard it, meekness. And they're not exactly the same. Meekness is power under control, but it's pretty close to humility. You know what a spirit-filled believer is going to be like? It's not going to be like, well, you lucky people, here I am. No. You know what the spirit-filled person is going to be like? Oh, they're going to be humble. They're going to be humble. To me, one of the surest signs that someone is not spirit-filled is when they're full of pride. Can't have both. You know, pride comes from the flesh. Humility comes from the spirit. Now, it's interesting in this passage that Hezekiah did repent of his pride. And because of that, God postponed his punishment. But you know who suffered? His children. And we're going to read about Manasseh. And we're going to read about how the Babylonians came and they captured the city and they broke down the walls and they carried these people off just like Isaiah said they would because of Hezekiah's pride. His pride. Now, Hezekiah was a great man. I mean, he prayed. He saw God do some amazing things. He was blessed. But he got filled with pride. And believer, in 2018, every one of us has the same battle. Every one of us. And I want to remind you that pride will destroy you. And it will destroy others. By the way, and I'm probably going to preach tomorrow night to the guys on this, only by pride cometh contention. You got contention in the home? You know what else you got? Pride. You got contention in relationships? You know what you got? According to the Bible, I'm just telling you what the Bible says, okay? Pride. You got contention in the church? What's the problem? Pride will destroy us. Now the answer to it, anytime Satan comes to you and says, man, you are good. I mean, you are somebody. Remind the devil, wait a minute. Anything I've got is from God. Anything I can do is from God. Anything I am is from God. God gets all the glory for everything. And I tell you what, folks, if we truly believe that in our heart, it'll keep us from falling to pride. Just glorify him. I've given Buddy a hard time. And he's given himself a hard time. But I tell you what, Buddy can build. It is truly Buddy the Builder. And he has been such a blessing on these mission trips. And we get along great as long as I do what he says. We do great. But I know, and Buddy knows, and will tell you, it's all from the Lord. It's all from the Lord. And folks, if we will stop anytime we are attacked by the devil about pride and say, wait a minute, it's all of God. I mean, we have got some talented folks here. We've got some great businessmen here. We've got some great people who can sing and can serve and can do all kinds of things. We've got all kinds of talent and ability here. We've got some great bus captains. We've got some folks here that are wonderful people. But I want to remind you, you're only that way because of the grace of God. The grace of God. And if we'll remember that, it'll keep us from pride and the punishment that comes with pride. Okay? Did you get it? All right. If not, there's another thing I can do about it. All right. Lord, we do pray that you would help all of us to be spiritually alert for these attacks of the devil and of our flesh. And God, help us not to be like Hezekiah in this instance. This week, help us, Lord, to glorify you, to give you credit for all things. Lord, for what we have and what we can do and what we are. God, oh, help us to remember it all comes from you. It's all the grace of God. And help us to truly have lives that
lift you up, that give a right view of who you are, that people would see your power and your greatness through our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good. Thank you, folks. You listened really well today. Appreciate you being here. Great to have you with us.